Good morning to the saints here with Good Tidings, and to those by Zoom and or telephone. Good morning. I know we're living in a time of stress, anxiety. You read a paper, you watch a television, and we get the impression this world is going nowhere. There is distress on every hand. Is there hope for the world? The good thing about being a Christian is that we are just pilgrims here on earth. Regardless of the condition, the situation, we're strangers. This is not our home. I watch the television, and there is this gentleman who spent, they call it luxury living. He spent $10 million on erecting a mansion, and he wanted the entire mansion to be lit so that there is no night. Problem is, he had to sleep. No matter how much light there was, he had to sleep. Can you imagine a mansion that's worth $1 billion. Can you? If you were so privileged to have a mansion that's worth $1 billion, you would be very concerned. Am I going to be sick? Can I eat more than I can digest? There's a limit to the amount of pleasure one can have in your mansion of $1 billion. This morning, I would like us to, for a minute or two, consider our mansion. It's not $1 billion. Our mansion is in heaven. Praise the Lord. So I would like to read John's Gospel, chapter 14. John's Gospel, chapter 14. Title is My Father's House. My Father's House. It is also known as Paradise. It is also known as the Kingdom of God. It is also known as the Kingdom of Heaven. John's Gospel, chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Amen. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way, you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Verse 2 and 3 says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. It must be a wonderful, something wonderful that Christ is preparing for us. As I said before, it may not cost $1 billion, but it's certainly something special. Because heaven is where God is. Where God is heaven. Everyone you ask, he wants to go to heaven. Now you come to a funeral service, and I'm amazed. Every person who dies and is brought up here is going to heaven. This is not in the Bible, but heaven is a prepared place. Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. You who? A prepared people. So, if you want to go to heaven when you die, you must be prepared, because that place is only prepared for those who've been born of God, those who have been saved by sovereign grace. The reality of heaven is it is a place. Some people think it's a state of mind. Some people think it's heaven on earth. But this that we are talking about is a place in the third heaven, as we will see. You believe in God, the one who created the heavens and the earth. And if you want to believe in heaven, the reality of heaven is it's a place where God lives. So you believe in God? You believe in heaven. You believe in Jesus? Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. If you believe in his pre-existence, many people believe in Jesus, but he is not God. He's a prophet. In order for you to go to heaven, you must believe in Jesus. His pre-existence, his coming into the world as a man, but truly God. You must believe in his atoning death. He died to take us to his Father's house. You must believe in his resurrection. And you must believe in his coming again. So, the reality of heaven is you must believe in God. You must believe in Jesus. And you must believe in the Word of God. There are many scriptures that tells us about heaven. I would like to read for you, because remember we said that it is a place, a very special place. So turn with me to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. I'm going to read from verse 9. I cannot say it as good as the Word of God can. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven plagues, last plagues, came to me and talked with me, saying, "Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife." And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Also, she had a great and high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates, and the names of them which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. 3 gates on the east, 3 gates on the north, 3 gates on the south, 3 gates on the west. Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations. On them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he talked with me, and he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates, and its wall. The city is laid out in a square. Its length is as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs, its length, its breadth, and height are equal. Then he measured its walls, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel. Now listen to this. The construction of his wall was like jasper, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, and the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardis, the seventh crystallite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. Chapter 22, verse 6 says, "Then he said to me, 'These words are true and faithful. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly come to pass.'" I know $1 billion could not buy you a city like that. And by the way, what we just read is not the entire heaven, that's just the capital city. The capital city, 14,000 square miles. Where is heaven? Heaven is a place, a literal place where God lives. How far is heaven? Well, the first heaven we know is the atmospheric heaven. Psalms 104 and verse 12 says, "By them shall the fowls of the heaven have their habitation." So the first heaven is the atmosphere where the birds fly. The second heaven is the planetary heaven as found in Isaiah 13 and verse 10. "For the stars of heaven and the constellation thereof shall not give their light." The stars of heaven. So we understand that the planetary heaven is the second heaven. The third heaven is called the divine heaven or the third heaven. Revelation 11 and verse 19 says, "And the temple of God was opened in heaven." 2 Corinthians 12 and 2, Paul says, "Such a one was caught up in the third heaven." God is in heaven. Matthew 6 and verse 9 says, "Our Father, who art in heaven." Jesus is in heaven. Acts 1:11 says, "This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven." The holy angels lives in heaven before the throne. Old Testament saints live there. New Testament saints live there. Hebrews 12:23 says, "To the general assembly and church of firstborn, which are written in heaven." Want you to know that our names are written in heaven. Those of us who know Jesus Christ as Savior. Paul said our citizenship is in heaven. Our reward is in heaven. Our inheritance is in heaven. Let's sum it up. Heaven is the home of the triune God. Where God is, there is heaven. So where is heaven? Heaven is where God is. The felicity of the home, what is heaven be like? It's a home of rest. As we read in Hebrews 4 and 9, "There remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God." Heaven is a place where love, perfect love, is. John 15 and 9 says, "The same way the Father loves the Son, the same way he loves us." So in heaven, place of rest, place of love, a place of joy. Psalms 16 and 11 says, "In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, pleasures forevermore." Heaven is a place of peace, holiness, tranquility. Do you want to go there? It's a home of fellowship. Imagine we're going to be fellowshipping with God the Father, God the Son. We're going to be fellowshipping with the angels, You're reading that Revelation chapters 4 and 5, and you see where the angels worship before God. We're going to fellowship with the angels. Abraham, David, all the saints of the Old Testament, and those of the New, the apostles, and all those of our loved ones who have gone before. If we know nothing more than that heaven is God's dwelling place, that would be more than enough. Saints, the toil and turmoil of today, there is hope. There is hope. Heaven is a place of permanency. You buy a home today, you want a bigger one tomorrow. And so we're moving and moving up and moving up and better. My Father's house, eternal life, eternal place. 1 Thessalonians 4:17 says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. I'm excited. Are you? Now, the last question that we want to think about for today is, how do we get there? The accessibility to heaven. Now, you know that everybody says they're going to heaven. Listen to this. If you could go to heaven using the speed of light, 186,000 miles per second, you begin your journey and you come to Mercury, is 50 million miles away from Earth. Jupiter, 367 million miles from Earth. Saturn, 790 million miles from Earth. And you're still not in heaven. Heaven, you could think about a billion miles up. So far, but yet for the Christians, heaven is near. The Lord Jesus told the thief, he says, today. How many miles? Today. You will be with me in paradise. I gotta tell you this. One morning I was having my devotion and this thought came to me. Now, I don't know how you view it, but I'm going to tell you how it came to me. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 24, it says, God drove out the man from the garden. And he set a flaming sword which points every way to keep, he didn't say man, to keep the way from the tree of life. So man is driven out of God's, shall I say, home. Now listen to this. This came to me. The flaming sword is going, and so you can't get to heaven or to God's home because the sword is everywhere. Jesus went to Calvary, and that sword pierced him. The sword pierced the Lord Jesus. Thus, you and I can go to the Father's home, bypass the sword, because the sword pierced Christ. Javier, I want to show you how we get to heaven. Javier, can you put that song? The way of the cross leads on. The way of the cross leads on. It is sweet to know as I onward go, the way of the cross needs home. Now listen to verse 1. I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I shall ne'er get sight of the gates of life if the way of the cross I miss. Verse 2 says, I must needs go on in the blood-sprinkled way, the path that the Savior trod. If I ever climb to the heights sublime where the soul is at home with God. Verse 3, then I bid farewell to the way of the world, to walk in it nevermore. For my Lord says, come, and I seek my home where he waits at the open door. How do you get to heaven? By the way of the cross. Jesus took the sword. The way is open for those who will come to God in Christ. A prepared place for prepared people. We used to sing the song. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and to look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. And finally, this song, we love it. Doc, I can't sing it, so I'm going to read it. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout victory. Jesus says, Thomas says, I don't know the way, Jesus. Jesus says, without the way, there is no going. Without the truth, there is no knowing. Without the life, there is no living. Heaven, a prepared place for prepared people. I know there's somebody listening who wants to go to heaven, but wants to go to heaven their way. Mass of humanity think that they have this thing figured out. If I do good, if I go to church, if I give money to the church, and if I live a good life, I'm going to heaven. One gentleman told me, he says, paradise is waiting for him. How do you get there? Just be a good person. Saints, we know the only way to heaven. Matter of fact, 1 Thessalonians 4 says, the Lord himself shall come for us. We can't even go by ourselves. 790 million miles, you just got to Pluto. You haven't got to heaven. Jesus have to come for you. Guess what? You have to be changed. So the dead in Christ, those who are alive, shall be changed in the twinkling of an eye. We're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. There is turmoil and there is anxiety. We don't know where to turn. But we know in whom we believe. And we are persuaded that he's able to keep that which he has what? Till that day. Saints, let's rejoice. In the midst of the pandemic, we're going to heaven. Someday, soon. Amen.